I'd like to emphasize that a little more, Chuck, if I may. I actually, in my Bible, I put a two-word note above the word whom in verse 12. And I wrote there above, not what. And if we read that, for which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know. And then it's not what I have believed, but I know whom I have believed. And Chuck has brought before us the fact that it's an individual, it's a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a question that comes up in conversation with Christians sometimes, or even with non-believers when speaking to them of the Lord. And the question that is asked is, well, what does your church believe? And then we stumble and stammer and we try to mellow out and soften the blow a little bit and kind of try to answer the question. I see smiles because obviously we've all been there, or many of us. And if the question is wrong in its essence, it's a wrong question. The question already gives expression to the understanding of the fact that our attention, the heart, is all in the wrong place. And it's in what a system believes. It's what someone else might believe as to a doctrinal statement of some type, shape, or another. But we're here called whom I have believed, to the individual. It's to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is set before the believer as the object. We spoke yesterday of our affections to Him. And He is the one that we have learned that it is in Him. And everything is in Him. There's nothing that I have been able to bring that has added to the value of my salvation or relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is what He has done for you and I on the cross of Calvary, to God the Father's glory. The Father has been satisfied in the work, and now it's in Him, the Lord Jesus, that we have relationship. And so notice that in this verse that this comes out three times. I know whom, the Lord Jesus, I have believed. And I am persuaded that who? He, that's the second one, is able to keep. Not me, not anything that I have, or any determination, even though good in itself, that I have, that is going to be able to do the right thing. I am going to do this. And if I want to do that, if I have that motivation in the strength of myself, we learn, unfortunately, the hard way that we fail. It's He, it's the Lord Jesus, is able to keep that which I have committed unto, and this is the third one, Him, against that day. And so may this enter into our hearts and consciences. It's the Lord Jesus. It's Him. It's in whom I have believed.
I was just thinking a little bit more about the sufferings that this man had to go through. In your leisure, you could turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and read the catalog of the things that he would have to endure for the one that called him. But I thought the fact that he really had to be convinced of the fact of who the Lord Jesus was for him to be able to endure such things. We said he would suffer these things, but we mentioned yesterday that day. I think it's three times in this very short epistle, that as the day was closing here on this earth, he would have in view the coming day. And he would say in another place that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So here is a man who looked at the situation. And notice, by the way, before he talks about the sufferings that he went through, he first, as we discussed yesterday, goes through all of the resources that our brother Amon was reminding us to keep in our pocket. The grace, the peace, the power, the love, etc. All the things that we have. So before he gets to the fact that where he's going to suffer, because he's not sugarcoating this for Timothy in any way, he's showing him what the Lord Jesus said, that if you're willing to follow me, there's going to be a cost. And here was man who was willing to give up everything for the one that he believed, that the impression that the Lord had on his life, the effect that it had, was one that made him give up everything. And he always had in view that day that was to come. And it was the view of that day that was to come that was allowing him to be able to get through this day. And I want to just read very quickly a verse, because I thought about it in connection with these sufferings and that day. It's the disciples in Matthew. You don't have to turn to it, but Matthew 19:27. They said to the Lord, and you know, we might be able to wonder why they said this, but they said, "We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And then the Lord expounds to them all of the tremendous things that they're going to have both in this life and in the life to come. And so there was a reward, and we're going to talk about that later in the week, the reward that God had for this great man, the Apostle Paul. But the sufferings that he went through, he really had to be convinced. And if we're not convinced of who it is that we're following, if we have any doubt in any way, there's no way we're going to be able to suffer anything for him. We're going to be ashamed. We're not going to be able to be strong, as we're going to get to in the next chapter. So we really have to have this very deep conviction of the one that called me and the one that I'm willing to follow, no matter what the cost, even if it requires for me to stand alone.